We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA show will now bring you even more content through The Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out The Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on The Athletic NBA Show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on The Athletic NBA Show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on The Athletic NBA Show for Nerd or She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerd or She Wrote right here on The Athletic NBA Show.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA Show as a part of the Athletic
Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper, teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday,
subscribe
to the Athletic NBA Show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you
right here on The Athletic.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Guys, I got to say, Bucks in four. It's a sweep. The Bucks are just better.
Like they miss PJ Dozier, man. Like that's where their defense is.
Yep.
Fire up the fucking doom ship. I'm burning this bitch down tonight. The number one seed getting cracked like that.
The same weekend.
Listen, the real KD.
Oh my god.
The real KD.
Oh my god.
That shit crazy,
bruh. New York strip steak.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Boosted.
This is good. This is good stuff.
I know. Hey, J. King, you would have been.
He might have been wrestling with somebody.
Nah, that's bad.
He might have been doing UFC. He might have been doing archery. That motherfucker does archery.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. Today, we got Jay King, we got Trevon Edwards, we've got Marcus Thompson filling in as Dave DeFore is on the ding duty, and James Edwards the third is. When have you ever been on the Buds?
I mean, I'm not like, a fill-in,
like
though.
You're like an 11th
like
man.
A special guest star or something?
11th
like,
man.
Jade, rewind.
You think I'm Jordan Poole?
Jade, you're Okonwu.
And our special guest today, Marcus Thompson of The Athletic.
In the Okonwu role.
Thank you. So good to be here. So glad
he
to be here.
He covers the Warriors. He covers Macklemore. He does it all for The Athletic.
Yo, you did have a fire story on Macklemore, too.
It was good,
too.
Man. It was really good. You know how good something has to be for me to read a story about golf and Macklemore?
Hey, and he texted me. Zach texted me that, too. Like I could sense all of the shock in the text. Like, yo, that Macklemore piece was good. But I could I can hear the shock.
You spent 10,000 hours on this writing shit. That was just bad Macklemore humor.
James Edwards is golfing in Florida, right? He's always golfing now.
He picked up the good health sport.
Yeah, he did. He did do that. But
he should be celebrating because he finally has someone good to cover.
Jesus.
Oh, he out there stunting, huh?
I mean, they still going to be bad.
They ain't even got Cage yet.
But it'll at least be someone interesting and someone that fans want to care about.
That's true.
Cade Cunningham is that $5 bill that on the Chris Rock show that got passed around Harlem.
Yo, I found a $20 bill on the street the other day. $20. It's real.
That's rare. That's in 2021.
Yeah.
That was the last bag of the PPP loan.
Yep. Hello? What? Yeah, sure, I'll do it. I just had something canceled the same weekend. Okay, great. Bye. You know, life is amazing. I just lost a job in 5 minutes.
Coming up on the show today, we got both conference finals going on. Well, when you're listening to this, you'll be listening to this on a Monday. We got the last night of the Western Conference Finals, and then we got a couple more nights of the Eastern Conference Finals. We also have some coaching news and some, you know what? Let's just start with the Dame stuff.
Let's do it.
Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports comes out with the story today, essentially saying Dame is like, all right, I think I'm ready to move on. Right? Like, that seems to be the tone of the story of, like, things are bad in Portland. We know that Neil O'Shea has really fallen out of favor. I don't know how long he was in favor in Portland, but it's really gotten bad after the last couple of years. Terry Stotts got out of there. Jason Kidd said thanks, but no thanks. And as they're about to announce the hiring of Chauncey Billups on, I believe, what was reported as a 5-year deal, Dame is kind of like, or it seems to be like, I think I'm done with this. So, Marcus, you're the East Oakland resident and expert. Well, you still live in East Oakland? You don't live in East Oakland anymore, right?
I'm in West Oakland.
You're in West Oakland.
I'm in a gentrified part.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah. You went and gentrified.
Shout out
West
to the
Oakland.
Athletic.
Shout out to the Athletic, indeed. So, Marcus, you know Dame pretty well. You know the Oakland, you know, kind of, I guess, persona. Pretty well. And so what's going on here? Because it's always been about loyalty with Dame. And now, as a lot of stars eventually seem to get to, you know, almost every star seems to get to at some point, it's kind of like, all right, you guys aren't really doing enough for me here.
You know, I actually think this is a little bit due. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I feel like
overdue.
Overdue. That's a good. That's what I was looking for. A long time coming. And I know there have been people in his corner for years. Like, yo, Dame, you got to dip. Dame, it's time to go. And, you know, his, I don't even know if it's loyalty as much as it is like this, like, dogged stubbornness. The same stubbornness that made him good, right? Like, the same stubbornness that kept him at Weber State for 4 years instead of, like, trying to transfer after he started balling. Like, it's just like, hey, Portland roll with me, I'm a ride with them. But that's not really real, and I think he's finding that out the hard way, right? I think he's finding out that what he thought was Portland riding with him was Portland making the savvy business move that benefited Portland. And the moment it stops benefiting Dame, they ain't going to do what's best for him, right? Like, that's, I think he's kind of seeing that. And there are just better options for him, period. Like, he's over 30. He's a father. He's got plenty money. So it ain't that. He's got another career waiting for him in the booth when he's done. The last thing to do is win. So, I think at some point he's got to the space in his mind where he doesn't see himself as disloyal for leaving, right? Where it's not the weak move in his mind. Like, you know, he's gonna have to deal with some tweets and some comments, right? He's got some stuff on wax that he's gonna have to address. But I think this is a bit of growth and maturity. And I say, Dame, go to Philly, quit playing. Go play with Joel Embiid, win a championship, and do it in front of Allen Iverson.
Wow.
Like, if anybody can fill the shoes of AI culturally and on the court in basketball, it's Dame Lillard. So, Philly, that's what I'm calling. Book it.
Trey, what's going on from the Portland Damian Lillard side of this? Like, why did this happen now? Is there no chance of Chauncey Billups being, and there's a whole conversation to be had about the Chauncey Billups signing too. There are a lot of people upset because I literally had never heard this before until about I want to say a month ago, it popped up in one of my group chats. But apparently, Ron Mercer and Chauncey Billups settled a civil suit from sexual abuse allegations, like in 99 or something like that. I don't know the I legitimately do not know the details of anything. I just know it was like 20 years ago plus. And so there are a lot of people upset about this hiring in terms of like the Portland fan base. And then on top of that, Dame drops this thing. Like, was there any way to salvage this situation, Trey?
Absolutely not. I think in this situation, and I think 1% of the fan base actually that actually consumes basketball knew about the Billups situation. Like, J. King covers the Celtics and didn't know about that like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah, think like about until 3 weeks ago. Feels high, right? And I grew up in Boston too, you know, like, and it's just something that was never on my radar.
Right.
As far as I can remember, like, that was not a big thing in the city at the time. Well, it was something that was like barely covered.
And real quick, like, that's going to be a shitstorm on Tuesday morning when they announce this hiring. Like, or at least I assume that is going to be addressed heavily in the press conference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in this situation also, you don't want to take it lightly, you know, because the thing is how this game is ran. And we've spoken on, you know, Kid being in the considerations and how, you know, his past also has came to highlight. I mean, it's a lot of skeletons coming to light, and it's something that the league needs to focus on and really kind of highlight. But you look at it in another situation where, you know, the Blazers fans don't want Kid, but the Mavs fans love it. You know what I mean? There's different organizations that accept it and they move the goalposts for,
sure,
you know, different things. But on a basketball standpoint, I don't think this changes how Dame feels. They still have the same team. You know what I mean? Like, having a new coach is not going to change too much from it. And it's on the GM, you know, and I think it's kind of whack because O'Shea is not really protecting his player. He's kind of letting Dame get bombed on instead of saying, you know what, I need to be better. And in this situation, it's going to be interesting what the, you know, the owner of the team has to do. And, you know, I think it boils down to Dame or O'Shea. And I honestly think that the owner is going to rock with the front office and Dame will be moved. You know, it might not be pretty. It might drag out a little bit. I don't think it happens instantly and they grant him where he wants to go. But it will be a situation where it gets a little ugly, which I think Dame is trying to avoid, but it's out of his hands because that's, you know, it comes with the territory of being a frustrated superstar. And then you got a fan base that's coming down hard on, you know, a head coach that they don't approve of, and they're probably going to just have to groan it. But then, you know, like, Portland being, I guess, super liberal now and just kind of like, if they're going to really go that hard, there's some information on their owner too. So I think it's going to have to be a full crackdown choice. I don't see the entire fan base running away from it, though.
So here's my thing with this is that I'm with Marcus. Like, this has been overdue. The Blazers for too long have wasted Damian Lillard's prime. The second best player he's played with in Portland, CJ McCollum, is not a good fit with him at all. Never has been. And they kept him as a co-star for many years. They've never put the right type of supporting cast around those guys. They've never put the pieces around them to make a realistic title shot. And so I get why he would want out. I would even support him if he wants out. The way he's doing it bothers me because he has a reputation as like the realest superstar, right? Like the guy who's going to be very real. And it bugs me a little bit that he's responding to people on Twitter and instead of putting his hand up and saying, look, that was my mistake. I didn't know about Chauncey's past. I feel differently now. Or saying, you know what? I know Chauncey well. I've known him for a long time. That's something that's in the past. I stand by him anyway. Like, those are the two options to me. Getting mad at the fan base and telling a person on Twitter, like, say less. Like, how does Y Ananobi feel? At Y Ananobi feel right now? Like, the guy who just got quote tweeted by Dame and is apparently being named as one of the reasons for Dame wanting out. And then the other part of this to me is, like, Dame started giving signs he wanted out as soon as they lost in the first round. He went on Instagram and did that whole vague, like, lyric stuff that to me suggested he was very disgruntled with what was going on there. And so to blame people on Twitter blaming him, and then to say, or the sources in Chris Haynes' article, whoever that was, to say that he had no part of this hire, like, he named Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups. He was quoted naming them. And so obviously if the franchise superstar names those guys publicly, then the organization will take that into, you know, consideration and try to do what he did. So I feel like this has been handled poorly by Dame sort of all the way around. And it's not like, I've always appreciated Dame Lillard for who he is and the way he approaches things. And I just feel like he's approached this one wrong.
Yeah. That's a really interesting part of it. The whole, like, well, that wasn't me, that was some other person part of this thing. Right. Because so this is the report from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. The enormous backlash from the Portland Trailblazers' process to hire a new coach and his concerns on whether a championship contender can be built have become factors that may push the franchise player Damian Lillard out the door. Lillard has remained loyal to Portland in large part due to the tremendous fan base, but over the last few days, he's seen some of those fans attacking him on social media for a pending coaching hire he played no part in consummating, sources said. Then there's another part that says, none of the candidates who were interviewed were from suggestions from Lillard, sources said. Did he suggest, like, I know the kid part. I know he suggested Jason Kidd. Did he suggest Chauncey Billups or not?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, then what the
he hell? Like he said I believe on it was Twitter. Jason Quick. It's not like he said on Twitter a list was given to him. I got to plead the fifth on this
one, but I'll tell you later, Jay. but we'll
I'm looking at his tweet, though. It sounds like he's saying he was given a list of candidates.
Absolutely. That's what it was.
And okay. He looked and said, okay, I like, okay, that guy, I like, and that guy.
So
like.
He asked when Neil Shea asked him more so basketball minded coaches, you know what I mean? And yeah. they basically put together a list, and on the list was like, who's your favorite off this list?
And but either way, once he says that and once he puts those names out there, the organization has to take that into consideration. So
I mean, how active he was, I don't know, Jay.
I feel what you're saying.
Are
I
you saying this is a LeBron always. James go draft Shabazz Napier situation, Marcus?
No, I'm saying like it's I think we presume that far often than it actually happens.
Right.
You know, I watched like Steph Curry literally lobby for Mark Jackson. And he got fired, right? Like, it don't all, like, Mark Jackson, there's a lot of players who would like him hired, right? And it don't always happen that way. I agree with Jay. I feel like Dame should have said one of those two things, right? Like, I do feel like, you know, just who he is, it probably fit him better to say that, right? Like, but I don't think if Dame is saying like y'all think I'm actually choosing these people, I didn't choose them. They handed me a piece of paper and I said this, and all of a sudden it's on me. I think Dame's frustration is, can you just take into consideration my entire character and line up what you're saying right now with who I am?
Right.
And even if I didn't handle it right, can you just consider the other 10 years of knowing me and what I'm about before you make this like rash judgment, right? Like that's just, I haven't talked to him about it. I don't know, you know, but that's just what it feels like. I see him saying like, man, but you know me, you know, this is not
and
who I am. You know
what
I'm about.
That's what I was hitting on Twitter. I wasn't saying like, oh no, he's squeaky clean in this situation. I mean, I think it's going to be messy regardless. Like nobody's going to leave this happy. I think everybody loses in this situation. He's going to end up in a situation where it's grass is greener on the other side, and he's going to miss Portland like shit. But Portland's going to miss out on a generational talent that they probably won't land. And they're going to be like one of those teams like OKC. Like, it's like, damn, we got to draft to get another player like this again.
But Jay is right, though. I think he could have picked one of them other two lanes. That would have been better.
Yeah, and then, like, it would have been so easy for him to just quietly talk to the organization and say, look, you haven't put the right team around. I mean, maybe because he has so many years left, you have to do it publicly, and you have to make a big stink and all that, because otherwise
that's how you the get organization out, just won't trade
you. Yeah, you can't get out with that.
You have to make it messy.
But to me, like, if he had just said, they haven't put the right basketball team around me, like, that's enough. Everyone's on your side at that point, right? because everyone has watched them squander the Blazers and squander that roster. They just lost to a Nuggets team that didn't have its starting backcourt in the first round of the playoffs. And it's kind of like the Kevin Garnett thing where, like, loyalty is great and nobody's going to say Kevin Garnett's not loyal after, you know, Minnesota traded him. And I think it would have been similar with Dame where it, like, just reached a point where it didn't make sense for him to be there basketball-wise anymore.
Loyalty is overrated in the NBA. All that shit comes back to bite you in the ass. You say all the right things to make a big contract. First year you get drafted, you got to re up. The next one, that's on, the next contract that you sign after you read up after your rookie deal, that's on you. I don't feel sorry for no player that took the bread because you end up in the Melo situation where you're like, I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to get my cash out. And then you wait too late. And now you want to do the pity party. You're like, oh, I want to get out or nobody's helping me. No, you had a chance. Do you want the ring or do you want to be rich forever? You know what I'm saying? I'll take the bread and just take my chances as a lovable loser and $500 million in the bank.
I'm with you too, but he staked his claim, I'm the loyal one. You know what I mean?
But now
he staked his claim. Look at all these other guys.
A lot of songs on wax about it. Right? Listen, it's a lot of bars.
The same thing, though. The same shit that he's telling about running from the grind with Paul George. That's what it's going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's going to look like. It never works that way, bro. And now you're going to get to actually play with other people outside of the All-Star game in the Team USA. Oh, it's going to be like tasting new blood as a vampire. Come on, man.
Taste the new blood as a vampire. I like
that's
that
facts.
One.
That's facts. Because he going to listen.
I will say this. If the worst thing Dame has done is not respond in the most optimal way in this situation, I think he's done all right.
When we get some, you know, some distance between whenever this trade happens, assuming this is not salvageable, which it doesn't sound like it is. Once we get to that, we'll get some distance, and then after that, like, I don't think people will really care long term, especially if he wins. If he wins a title somewhere, wherever that next place is, no one will care. Like, they just won't. With the coaching situation in Portland, though, man, like, there's just a lot of questions that need to be answered, right? Because you have this incident that occurred 20 plus years ago, whenever that was. I think I saw 1999, but whenever that was. And so when you settle out of court, in civil court, like, it's not admitting guilt, but it looks fucking guilty.
Oh, it's nasty.
Right.
And there's no way around it, because now he's going to be asked a question. Yeah. He either can duck it or he can say, he can issue a statement on it. But I think it's too late. It's not too late because he already's going to have the job, but it takes so much time to win back over the public of asking for atonement and in order to put the work in. So think about it. He addresses it. Right. He apologizes. And he has to coach the season while people are going to be outside with picketed signs and all this other shit. And he's going to have to be like, you know, he's going to have to volunteer locally. And people are going to have to trust and believe that he's really, you know, believable.
So,
and it sucks because...
Can I ask y'all a question?
Yeah,
this is just how I think. And maybe I'm tripping, right? But, you know, I've never been in a situation remotely like that, right? But I've, you know, we've all got our little skeletons, right? We've done our little dirt. I'm one of them people... Nah, be chill. You be knocking people out, right?
I'm one of them people
who I'm thinking, Chauncey, why would you be coaching? You basically got away with it. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I mean,
well, because going to the front office,
I'm not trying to have dark humor.
Like, he's asking to bring this up and be vetted like this.
It hasn't come up. Like, look, I had no idea until a month, within the last month, right?
And he's been on TV. He's been up
so
for
front
office.
So why would
jobs,
you just keep it that it way, though? That's the part I don't get. Like, I would have, man, I'm like, because, I'm going to keep because, this TV look, gig.
Because this is a dream job for him, Marcus. Like, he's either wanted to be in front office or he's wanted to be a head coach in the right type of job. You know what I'm saying? And he thinks
coach and all that draft capital they're going to get for Dame Lillard.
And then he also sees it as maybe it people forgot or it fell off or that like, out of jail.
It didn't come up when he was a champion. It didn't come up when he was a Clipper. It didn't come up when he was when he was the one of the faces of ESPN's coverage. Like it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't come up when he was a head, assistant coach being hired for Ty Lue Stat. Like
again, respect to all victims in situations like this. Again, we're not making light of
No, because I think definitely not making light. Like I think that there's gonna be. There has to be coverage and there has to be a conversation. This like he has to get asked. Neil O'Shea has to get asked. The ownership has to get asked. Like everyone's got to know what was your process? What did you ask about this? And why did you feel like this wasn't a concern that should keep him from getting hired? Yeah. And you're going to have to get all that. But here's the and the thing that I don't like that's happening right now is there is stuff about the ownership, right? There's stories that are coming out about, and so now it's like, well, yeah, but this happened too. It's like, okay, they can all be bad, and we can deal with them all one by one, right? Like, it's not a, yeah, but they did this, so now this,
it don't
this,
mean
this.
Nobody get off, right?
Right, because exactly. There's other people. This is the problem where it's become like a pissing contest instead of like, hey, why don't we figure out what the fuck the process was here? Like, that's what we need to know. He's either going to atone for it or deny it. Like there have been plenty of settlements in civil court where the person still denies that it happened.
By the way, Zach, I'm not gonna let this go under the rug. Jody Allen forced the male employees to model while she flirted. If they did not comply, she punished them. Another allegation was illegally taking animal bones from Africa. So, I mean, obviously in network making hostile work environments, nobody's cleaning this situation. Nobody's pointing fingers. But I think that everybody, if they are going to deep research, be like overly, that's like going to like, oh, I'm not going to eat In-N-Out no more because they donated to the Trump organization.
Right. But here's the thing, the Blazers ownership group, like Jody Allen stuff, that's for the league to justify. Yes. Right. Like this, that, because now we're getting into the whole like, what happened to Sterling, what happened to that Hawks owner, all that stuff, right? Like, like I'm not saying it shouldn't be dealt with. It should be dealt with. Now that we've seen these stories and stuff, Adam Silver's got some stuff to answer for. But that doesn't absolve the Blazers of having to answer for this, Chauncey Billups for having to answer questions. And and like I think an explanation needs to be had. And I don't think it's going to, you're not going to satisfy everybody with it, but it's on the media to ask these questions and it's on the people in the Blazers organization now to answer this shit.
Yep. And that was part of the deal when they did this, when they settled, right? Yeah. Like, that's part of it. Yeah. Like you, even if you didn't do it, when you take the settlement, you know that there's this stink with it.
Yeah. So, there's going to be a stigma that comes with it.
Absolutely. So if you want a position, like a front facing public position, and like a vocal leadership position, you gotta address this. You can't, like you all, that's what I'm saying. It's like weird because it's almost like, hey, I know somebody gonna find out. So
I thought he was gonna withdraw like Kid, and then now welcomes in Becky. You feel me? Like right. That's what I thought was gonna play out this way.
I'm legitimately shocked that this has gone through.
But after the blowback. My bad. I'm sorry,
apparently,
y'all.
I see it like, I guess he's ready to
face the questions, whatever.
I mean, I'll be ready. I guess you're more ready to face it when you got a 5-year deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
And you know, 5-year deals is really 2.5.
But you get paid for
you
the
get
five,
the cash
though.
Out, though. You get the cash out.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot more about this. The Dame stuff is just, we're just scratching the surface with him.
And you wonder what was going on behind the scenes, right? Like,
dude.
Like, so Dame is obviously having his issues with the organization. The organization, it leaks that they're, basically going to choose Chauncey Billups. And then there's some time between then and when they finally agree with him where, like, all this backlash comes out. And Dame is going at it on Twitter with people. You wonder if in the organization they're like, you know what, let's not do this. Let's back off Chauncey Billups. Let's go to a different candidate. You wonder how much conversation there was about that at that time because it was obvious that Dame was in the mix. And Dame was on Twitter and doing this publicly, and it was pretty clear he was very pissed off at how everything was going down. And so you just wonder, like, what the conversations were during that period in between, the one leaked report and the next. Did they think about backing out? Did they call Dame, try to ease things over with him?
Hashtag free Dame.
Man, it's just a mess over there right now. And that's after, like we said, like years of them letting Dame down basketball wise.
Yeah. It's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad in Portland. Will Chauncey Billups coach Damian Lillard?
Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. Hey, speaking of Dragon Ball Z, I'm sure some of these young ass Hawks and Suns players watch that at some point in their lives. What about the conference finals, guys? Let's start off with what we watched tonight. Game 3 of the Hawks and Bucks series, in which Trae Young was going nuts early on. The Hawks were in a good spot. And then over like the last almost 6 minutes of the game, I believe the Bucks finished the game on a 17-4 run. And I'm pretty sure Chris Middleton had 30 of those 17 points. Like, Chris Middleton went off in that game in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 38. And so now the Bucks have taken back home court advantage. I said on NBA radio earlier on Sunday morning that that whoever won game 3 was going to win the series. I guess I believe that. I don't know. I just threw out a jackass prediction to kind of see what would happen there. But Jay, what did you think of the conference finals so far with Hawks Bucks, and where do you think this series lands?
I mean, after watching Trae Young get hurt, after watching...
Yeah, he rolled his ankle on one of the officials. He stepped on his foot or something like that, right?
Yeah, and then he couldn't move the rest of the game.
Yeah, like, he looked like shit. Yeah.
He honestly, I was wondering if he should even come back in the game or check out after he had come back in the game, because defensively he was hobbling around. Offensively, he didn't have nearly the same power and pop he did earlier in the game. And then Chris Middleton just got ridiculous. When Chris Middleton starts hitting tough shots, like he can just get extremely, extremely hot. And he's just one of the best shot makers in the league. And that's the Hawks' weakness, right? Like, they don't have a lot of great perimeter defenders. And so we've seen Drew Holiday have big outings in this series. Chris Middleton got going on Sunday. And once Milwaukee finally got a couple of stops, they really trounced him. But with Trey's injury, I just don't see how the Hawks can pull out this series unless he's back 100%. They need him 100%. They can't be relying too often on Lou Williams or Gallinari creating offense, because they really, really need Trey to create just about everything for them.
Yeah, they don't have really another offensive option. Well, they might have on Sunday night. John Collins, they could not throw a goddamn post-entry pass to him. Like, he kept getting all these switches, and they're doing a good job of battling him in the post, but, like, no, like, Kevin Herter can't throw a post-entry pass. Bogdanovich can't throw a post-entry pass. Like, what the hell's going on, man?
I mean, honestly, 73% of the NBA can't throw an entry pass.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? That's just what it is.
Somewhere Eric Bledsoe's ears are burning.
I think the other player who needs to be, I don't know if he's healthy or not. I'm presuming he's not, but they need Bogey. They need Bogey.
Oh,
in
man,
a bad
he can't
way.
Move. Like, his knees messed up. He can't.
Like, you could just see, like, the form on his corner three. Yeah. I mean, them things are money. When he sets his feet, like, the net doesn't move, and he couldn't buy it. Like, he couldn't. They need him healthy. They need Trey healthy. They can't do anything without a healthy Trey. But they also need a healthy Bogdanovich or somebody else. Like, Bogdanovich, what was he, three for 15 last time I looked?
Three for 16, yeah. Two for 10 from three.
Oh, yeah. So
he can't even skip a rock.
They can't do anything without that. That corner three is fundamental. It's Trey's counter. It's he gets in the middle, and if they come to him, you got to hit that corner guy. That corner guy got to hit the three, and that's Bogey. Like, that's his shot, and if he's not giving them that, they got to find somebody else. Or dust off Tony Snell. Let's go. Tony Snell, game 4, is going to get 20.
Wow. 20 what?
Shout out to Tony Snell.
20 points. What does he shoot, like 98%, Jay, on corner threes?
Yeah, he had some crazy numbers. I think it was, man, I don't even remember, but it was crazy. About this series, more so, like, I still got Bucks in 5. I don't think they ever solved the problem for Giannis, you know? Nah. And that whole countdown shit done gave him a rhythm on accident. I mean, he gonna give you one air ball. That's just a given. But at the end of the day, they have no answer for this dude. And, you know, obviously, y'all mentioned earlier, you know, Trey's injury. is something to like look on. If he's not 110%, God bless.
I don't know if it gave him a rhythm. He was 6 of 13 tonight.
I mean, that's
but he hit like a few of the roto.
That's good for Giannis, bro. It's not like we can get no crazy, you know.
Hey, what would Ben Simmons pay for 6 for 13?
Oh, bro.
What would he pay not to have to take 13 free throws?
Bro, you know, so like overall, they gotta figure it out. They have no, and then you know, they let Middleton go off. And like I'm so happy for Chris Middleton because again, sometimes it's a lot of inconsistencies, but he makes some big shots for the Bucks. You know what I mean? And he's been showing up in the playoffs for them. You know, he'll struggle. And in the games that they need him, he's knocking down shots. And like towards that end, he was just knocking them down. And I'm just like, all right, okay, Chris, I see you. They need more sets. I don't like the sets that Bud be, you know, calling, but it looks like if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to be playing in the finals.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see how the Hawks.
Who called a Bucks Suns finals? I know I didn't.
I mean, I called the Suns. I'm just saying.
You did call the Suns.
I
don't think you ever believed it, but you did call the
Suns. Nah, I called the Suns.
I called the Bucks.
Did you?
So look, me and Jay.
No, I don't think I did. I think I called
the finals. It's like the dice accidentally rolling on the table and you hit. Like, that's what that was. And
it's like picking. It's like picking like the horse that nobody's picking. Just like just because.
Yeah.
And then it's like yo, he's actually winning. Here's why the Hawks might be done, Zach.
They're playing the Bucks.
Brooke Lopez -17. And he only played 25 minutes. Your guy made an adjustment.
Wait, what?
Budenholzer. I'm looking at the minutes.
What adjustment? He played 25 minutes.
I mean, it could have been 40.
That's not
an adjustment. I'm looking at 32 from Connaughton. I saw Bobby Portis has been dusted off. Remember, he didn't even play.
He averaged 27 minutes a game this year. That's not an adjustment.
No,
Bobby Portis took a shot at halftime. It was one of those like near Carlton.
Yeah, this shit was funny as hell.
He took that shot like he'd been thinking about that since the first round.
Drew was looking at him like, what?
Drew was looking at him, something fierce. Like, the ball. And then Bobby just slammed himself with the ball in the head like five times. Like, yeah, my bad, guys.
Here's the thing. I don't know that the Bucks made the right adjustments other than like Middleton got hot, Trae Young got hurt, and the Hawks can't score if Trae Young's not Trae Young.
Zach, Bud is just a Tesla, bro. He on autopilot. That's it, bro. He just, you know, go on default mode.
And we're just checking to see if the battery blows up. Just, like, what's
and,
the...
And just make sure that they get a little charge here and there. That's it. They going to accidentally end up in
the finals. I'm not going to let y'all do this. We kill Bud. We got to give him the credit. Brooke Lopez averaged 33 minutes in the Nets series. In the Nets series. Yes, he did. In the playoffs. He averaged 33 minutes in the Nets series. Let's see what he averaged in the Hawks series before tonight. 25, I'm telling you, he plays that dude more than 25 minutes. Like, Bud be wildin'. He'll put this dude out there for 40, and then they lose the series. I'm just saying, like, he pushed away from the buffet table. He 25 minutes, he was -17. Connaughton played 32 minutes. When does that happen? Yeah, that was Bud.
And they went to center Giannis in the fourth.
When that helped Middleton get busy. Minutes, man. That's too much Project Pat minutes. He shoot right now. He shoot like the button got syrup on it or something. He shot with the threes.
I don't care who the other dude is.
His offensive rebounds have been pretty important. The Bucks had 15 offensive rebounds tonight. That's been a thing that's really, really worked out for them. And I think it's because, you know, they're trying to hide Trae on guys in the corner.
Yeah.
And they those guys are crashing. Yeah. And then, you know, they're switching sometimes and Giannis gets a small on him and he crashes a glass and Marcus, the Bucks have done a really, really good job, including Connaughton crashing the glass, and that's been pretty big.
Marcus is lying his ass off reading these numbers, okay? Brooke Lopez played 33 minutes a game in the Nets series. You're right. Going into tonight, he played 21 minutes a game in the first two games. He increased it to 25 tonight.
Bro, it could have been 40. That's my point.
That's not
That's my point. It could have been 40. That is an adjustment.
You just wanted to say something nice about Mr. Magoo. And look, they're winning in spite of him. That's how good Drew Holiday is. Drew Holiday can have a horrible shooting night, and he can still dominate matchups. He can still be a difference maker because Drew Holiday.
Which matchup did he dominate tonight?
He's a wet
blanket
on the other end.
What'd you see him do? Defensively, he was disrupting everything. Big possession down the stretch. They post.
I saw him match up against Trey, and I saw Trey have 35.
Because he is feeding him into Brooke Lopez, which is the design of this damn defense, and Brooke Lopez can't do anything with it. Also, they're getting a switch of Giannis onto Trey every damn time down the floor. What are you watching? What do you mean?
I mean, I definitely did not watch Drew Holiday dominate his matchup tonight. I can promise that.
Defensively, he was phenomenal.
I agree. No, Drew's fantastic, and especially in the second
assists.
After the first 8 to 10 minutes of the third quarter, the Bucks really kicked it up a notch. And defensively, with that, the exception of that little stretch when Okongwu got busy, they put it into higher gear. And obviously, that was helped because Trae Young sprained his ankle on a referee's foot. Have we ever seen that before?
I've seen Carlos Boozer punch a referee in the nuts accidentally, but I've never seen someone step on a foot.
Yeah, and it was just bad luck. The guy was off the court. And
how has Steph Curry never done that? Steph's sprained his ankle 107 ways.
And especially with all the bouncing around he does after he hits a three and twists around, and does those.
I mean, he broke his tailbone in the stands. How has he never stepped on a ref's ankle? Steph, you slacking out here. Figure out a new way.
So the Hawks are done, right? If Trey's not 100%. If Trey's not
100%. Bro, 100% or not, this shit is over.
I think they win that game if he doesn't.
No. They were supposed. This is the game that they were supposed to win.
Yeah.
And with Trey leaving, the team couldn't hold on. And once Middleton got going, that was it. God bless. I just don't see them getting it. I don't see them getting it. And they came out hot.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They came out hot. But they
responded in the third quarter.
Threes.
Yeah.
They can't have their two guys that get buckets, not there or not 100%. You know what I'm saying? You can't have a 77% bogey and a 83% Trey and try to steal this one.
And John Collins can't pick up a fourth foul 8 seconds into the third quarter.
I think all those low IQ moves come from being tired.
Yeah.
Lazy and just making bad plays. And they're a young team. And like I said, they're riding, Marcus quoted me before the series, they're feisty, they're exciting. But when you go against experience and the Bucks have been here many times now, they know. They just go for the ride. Okay, you punch me in the mouth. And then, okay, that was your best shot. All right, here you go. We're going to show you the real. And that's what
they ain't getting one more. They getting one more. They doing it for the ATL. They doing it for T.I. They doing it for Dominique and Spud Webb.
I love
they doing it for 2 Chainz.
I love Lil Jon.
They doing it for Nunu.
This is for Matt Ryan. For Chris Tucker.
They doing it for old school Freaknik. Atlanta is lit. They win one more game.
This ain't happening.
They doing it for Luda and Shaka Zulu. Come on.
Hey. Blue flame on three, because this is over.
They're doing it for Craig Maddux, baby.
All right, what about...
So 25-10, Hawks are up 15. Last year's Bucks fold, man. And I know what came after in the fourth quarter with the injury and the Middleton flurry and all that. But that stretch for the rest of the first half... That shows a difference to me between the Bucks last year, the Bucks 2 years ago, and the Bucks now. This team is more mentally tough.
And what's the difference?
They still do all the same.
What's the difference?
Offensive spacing issues. They still have some of the same defensive coverages where you're just like, what the hell are these guys doing? But they're a lot more mentally tough, and they're able to come back from stuff like that. It doesn't stick with them. It doesn't ruin them. They just kind of work through it, and they trust in each other more. And I think you can see that time after time in these playoffs. And then the other piece, Giannis during that Brooklyn series, because of all he had to carry, and because I think he had to go toe-to-toe with Durant, and obviously he wasn't guarding him, but there was a level of fatigue, I thought, throughout a lot of that series. the Hawks don't make him work like that. Like it's not the same type of series for him. He's getting easy buckets in this one. And I think over the rest of the series, that'll be very important that he's not worn down like he was against Brooklyn and he's fresher. And I see this going five, maybe six.
Jay, what's the difference between this year and then the previous 2 years?
They are tough.
And how do you get tough? Oh, Jrue Holiday. You're right. Yeah, yeah, they acquired Jrue Holiday. All right. Marcus, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
And PJ and Bobby Portis, man. Salute to Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis got lit up in game one. Lit up.
Yeah, but salute to him. He came back in game three and got buckets.
What do you attribute, Zach? What do you attribute Giannis's, like he in the past, it feels like when they got behind, he's the one who got rattled. And now he's playing so much smarter, like,
is
especially
he?
When they're down. Not, how many threes he take tonight?
Look,
none in the fourth quarter.
He none didn't play a half. Lot smarter in the Nets series. He's playing.
The back half he did, but you're right. Like, the last two games, he was pretty smart.
Game six, he was very smart. Game seven, I think he got lucky.
This game, I felt like Giannis stayed in himself.
I mean,
played smart. He didn't take those panic. Oh, we're behind. I'm about to pull up some 30-foot threes. Yeah.
The difference is he's going against John Collins and, you know, Danilo Gallinari. Like he's just, they don't have anyone. Like Capella can stay with him and bother him, but they also kind of need him on Brooke, and they need him as a helper against Giannis rather than on Giannis. And when they can't bring Capella over in help, he's just turning his shoulder into John Collins. He's turning his shoulder into Danilo Gallinari or Solomon Hill. Like it's just, there's a size difference. Like at least with Blake made him work, right? Blake was super physical with him. They let a lot go with the contact with PJ on KD and with Blake on Giannis in that last round. And he's just not getting that same physicality against him. And so as long as he doesn't lose his dribble, he can gather himself and still make those good plays. Like every once in a while, he's still going to take some of these bad shots. But for the most part, like he's able to gather himself. And when he gathers himself, there's really nothing you can do.
I thought Okongwu had a couple really solid possessions against him.
Like, he did, yeah. But like,
maybe that's not an answer long term because Okongwu is still a rookie. You don't know what you're going to get out of him on either end.
Right.
But I thought that stint, like not only did he do a couple things offensively, but he also stayed in front of Giannis, was physical with Giannis. And I think that's something they should at least think about moving forward.
Man, but I don't know if you can put a rookie on him.
When you're thinking about bringing the rookie off the bench to guard a two-time MVP, it's
tough.
Yeah.
You know what? You're already in a rough place at that point.
What about Chris Dunn? You know, I know he's like 6'2", but, you know, he likes to play defense. Just have him be annoying. Just have him be Pat Beverly.
He's tough.
He's tough, but he's not tall.
Pat Beverly's
going to
get flicked aside. Yeah, he can flicked aside by bigger guys going in to the rim. Although Pat Bev has been good in the Clippers series. I'll give him that.
Pat Bev is doing way better against Booker than I thought he would.
I mean, the Suns series.
Has Pat Bev been good against Booker? Or is the mask good against Booker?
I mean, he the reason for the mask, so he kind of gets credit for the mask.
That's true. Pat Bev is an evil, wicked witch. He turned my man nose into Owen Wilson nose. It's crazy. That is so crazy, dog. Like, that was kind of like, he did it for the dark-skinned bros. That was like, you know, like Dev Book took one of his girls or something. That's why he did that right there. That's crazy.
That series was, that game four in L.A.,
just was disgusting.
Some of the ugliest shit I've ever seen. Like I didn't want either team to win.
I felt part of that game. I felt like that game was speaking to me.
The Suns won, but that series should still be 2-1. Like no one should get a win for that.
I mean, they were combined 9 for 51 from three. Like I'm taking those percentages when I play. Like let's go. I felt like they were trying to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, we with you. We appreciate what you've been doing. We see you out there struggling on the playgrounds of West Oakland.
Right.
And we go show you we with you. And they went out and played like that. So I respect them.
If I'm a Clippers fan today, I'm so mad about the two no calls toward the end of the game. First, Terrence Mann and one. They don't call
it. How do they not review that out-of-bounds play?
And then the out-of-bounds play, it was the same exact thing that happened the game before.
Play, yeah.
It was everyone was calling for the replay. It doesn't like all they had to do was stop it. It would have been overturned. And nope, they didn't even look at it. And that's what bugs me sometimes about all the instant replay stuff and some of the flagrant foul stuff is like it's just so inconsistent.
It seems random, right?
Yeah. Like you never know when, you know, contact to the face is going to get replayed. You never know when out of bounds calls like that are going to get replayed. It's like that one was once you saw the replay, it was very obvious who it was off.
Well, it was, I mean, I don't think you just have to be a Clippers fan to be mad about that. I think any basketball fan wanted to see a more inventive way for the Clippers to blow that game because this team down the stretch, I mean, my God, like obviously the lob to Ayton the other night, what are you doing? Like, that's such bad basketball. At so many levels from the missed free throws to the way DeMarcus Cousins guarded that to everything. Right. And then to go into game four and like Paul George again, can't hit a free throw down the stretch or can't hit enough free throws down the stretch. And then does DeMarcus Cousins not know you have to hit the rim on a free throw?
Yeah,
he threw that thing like it was NBA Street Volume 2. Like, just trying
I hope he wasn't trying to hit the rim on that.
I mean, that was I've been stunned. So, a little name drop here because I know Jay loves that. We were talking to Randy Foy on NBA Radio this morning on Sunday morning, and
Randy Foy is going to be your name drop today.
I did say Randy Foy. Randy Foy played
with Chris Paul. He's seen some, you know, some guys fall apart in the playoffs because he was on that Thunder team in 2016. Like, Randy Foy knows what's up. He also started all Villanova, that great baby. Veteran shit at Villanova. So, or at least he said he did. So, we were talking to him and we're like, whose responsibility is that to tell DeMarcus, hey, by the way, you got to hit the rim here? Is it like some of it's got to be on DeMarcus? Like, you should know that rule. Ty Lue's got to call him over at some point. An assistant has to call him over at some point. Paul George has to talk to him at some point. Like, someone has to make sure he knows, like, hey, by the way, hit the rim. We'll go get it.
You can't think that an NBA player does not know that rule. So I don't even put
that on a teammate.
Like, every single person in the world knows that rule.
I don't. I mean, not
especially
every single person.
It literally just happened the free throw before that.
He might have just thought that Paul George was trying to throw it off the rim to him.
Like, DeMarcus, if you step on that line, it's out of bounds.
Look, I don't know what Cousins knows or doesn't know, okay? That's not for me to adjudicate. I'm just telling you. Randy Foy thought that, yes, he should have known the rule, but also, like, you know, you got to have communication out there. Because you think if DeAndre Ayton had to do that shit, you think Chris Paul doesn't tell him hit the fucking rim?
That was an awesome foul by Torrey Craig, too.
It was, yeah.
It was, like, that was a high IQ foul.
It really was.
That's a great point. Chris Paul would be like, hey, he would at least say something about hitting the rim.
Yeah.
Chris Paul,
you know, that leadership, you know what I'm saying? The leader that has turned him into a champion.
Hey, ask DeAndre Ayton about that leadership, right? DeAndre Ayton.
Chris Paul is the greatest stepdad of all time, bro. Like, these quotes just make my stomach hurt. I like Chris Paul. I think he's one of the rare point guards to play this game. But knock it off, man. That's why I was not.
Y'all don't even understand the leadership he was doing when he played poorly in game, was it 3?
And 4. He played like shit in game 4.
Nah, but he set him up for the adversity game, for the bounce back. Right. You know how much they grew in game 4? He set all that up.
I think it's, listen, that's how much of a control freak he is. They got to FaceTime him after the win. He got to tap in. He got to be a part of this.
I guarantee he says give the phone to every single player. He's going to tell every single guy what he did wrong tonight.
I covered the Suns last year. I ain't never seen Devin with no phone fresh off the court. Ever. Ever,
you imagine,
bro?
You're Devin Booker walking out the room and like, hey, you got a phone call. What?
Hey, Devin, you're hooping with an iPhone in your sock tonight.
Hey, yo, Chris,
because you
got to
FaceTime me as soon as this fucking game's over.
Hey, as soon as he takes the headphones off, bro, somebody hands him a cell phone.
Chris Paul sound like Tom Thibodeau?
Hey, it's Chris Paul. Yeah, I love that default Jay voice. Like anybody imitates, you're gonna sound like crusty. Like Tom Thibodeau, bro. But yeah, like that's nasty to me. Like, and I get it. Like I remember saying, and Marcus, we got a chance to chop it up in Phoenix a few times. And I used to be in the media room like, yo, Devin, somebody needs to take the leadership role off Devin Booker's hands, right? And just let him score and let him do what Devin does best. And Chris Paul is the perfect guy for that.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets to a point where you playing with a bunch of kids. Like, Dev is going to be a young OG. By the time he's 28, he's going to be like year 12, which is kind of wild, right? And you look in this situation, like these guys are like, they don't know how to win. This is their first playoffs. Chris is eating all this shit up. You got, you know, campaign probably over here like, yo, he taught me how to tie a tie. They on that stuff, bro. And it's like, yeah,
he's talking about it. Like, hey, I had my first catch with Chris Paul. We went in the backyard. We threw the football around.
It gets so wild and nasty because the numbers aren't crazy. And I understand, like, you know, he takes a lot of pressure off guys because he makes the right pass. You know, and you think about the times where he played with DeAndre Jordan and, you know, Ayton's a much better offensive player than DeAndre Jordan, right? And in this situation, his ears is wide open to Chris Paul. Because he's like, you know, most of these dudes played 2K with Chris Paul. So, like, you got to think about it. Like, yo, he's really a dream to play with, when, you know, when you look at it. And this is the perfect situation. And I think, like, if Chris Paul ended up in, like, the Lakers, it wouldn't be great because him and LeBron are both control freaks. Like, those dudes need to be in a position of, you know, in a situation. We talked about this, and same thing for James Harden, of the annoying roommate situation. But those guys allowing him to be the cool stepdad in the locker room, it works.
Hey, the honeymoon season always works, right? Yeah. And in this honeymoon season, make him a fucking championship.
Listen, if they win a ring, Devin Booker going to put that Kobe picture up where Kobe's wearing the jacket. And
100% he's going to do that.
Hey, and year two off the ring, that book is going to be like Kyrie. Like, nah, I'm sick of that. He not my dad. I got a dad.
I got a dad.
What did you think of, Marcus, what did you think of Chris Paul saying, I don't want to talk about 3-1. That's never been good to me.
Right? I mean, I like the candidness, right? I like him not ducking the reality of it. I thought that was pretty good. You know, I'm interested how he gonna feel when DeAndre Ayton gets Finals MVP, but you know, currently,
he's not lobbying every single media member voting for that, all 12 people or whatever that is.
11.
Yeah, keep it uneven.
Oh man,
nah, it's got to be Ayton. It's got to be nah. I just think it's funny that
he's gonna be pissed like when Devin Booker wins that thing. Good. Devin Booker's gonna win that Finals MVP, and he's gonna be pissed.
It's book. I mean, this is the same. I watched the same thing with Steph. Like, this is all great and fine, but it works because you cannot not guard book like your life depends on it. Because if you don't, he will cook you. And that's where it all begins. That's where the NBA begins. Like, that dude will destroy you unless you do something. And they're like playing Patrick Beverly because they have to do something about that. Everything begins with that. So, it's interesting.
You know what'd be funny though? If the Suns actually won the chip, right? How NBA Twitter is gonna like parade him for like a day. And as soon as they get to the parade or whatever Phoenix has, right?
He's gonna
say something that's gonna rub everybody wrong, and 100%. He's gonna get back on the bad side again. And
I'm telling you, I'm here for it.
The heel turn on it is gonna be great. Oh my god.
Hey, as long as he wears some Clark Atlanta shoes while he's doing it, he good with me. Bro.
Hey, I think it's cool, but it'd still be nasty, bro. It'd be nasty how you put it down. He'll wear a fanny pack, and then it'll be like a Hillman sweater rolled up to his elbows, with
looking like he need them flip up glasses.
Hey, bro, like he'd be dressed like Dwayne Wayne, bro. He'd be having a hot.
Marcus, I almost texted you late last night because I was watching Married at First Sight, and one of the women had Clark Atlanta university shorts on.
Let's go.
I almost texted you a picture, and then I thought that'd be weird if you know your wife saw me texting you a picture of this woman on TV. I didn't want to get you in trouble.
You know what? This is why you my guy. You appreciate the awkward positions that you can put married people in. Like a lot of people don't understand that, and they just be doing stuff. You know, they're like you gotta always consider that somebody's wife might see the phone. Like that's why you're the best, Zach. I really appreciate that.
You know, I'm looking out for you. All right, so everyone's listening to this show on Monday. Is the Western Conference Finals over tonight, Trey?
Yes.
Marcus?
No.
Whoa. Jay?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it's over.
It's going to be a blowout, too.
But I knew y'all were going to say that, so I'm going with the opposite. Paul George, baby, let's go. You got one more in you. You got one more in you.
Here's the thing.
That's the thing I'm worried about.
I got mad love for Paul George. He's been hooping. He's been doing his thing.
He's so gassed.
This series.
He's 5-20.
But after this series ends, we're going to get the big news about Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to break it like, he's going to miss a year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be bad, bro. Like, it's going to be like, you know how
and
in the
Kawhi going to be like, it's all good because I got Reggie Jackson. Let's bring it back.
Yeah. That's a sick guy. Oh. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, just by the way, if the Clippers win game 5, I can tell you Kawhi out for game 6. We don't need to go through that wait for game day and then, hey, oh, by the way, Kawhi's out for not tonight. He's out. He's out. Like, he's not playing, guys. Unless Mr. Miyagi comes to his rescue. Like, he's not playing. It's over.
So it reminds me of the Kevin Garnett situation. Like,
what was that, 2009?
Yeah.
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 Yo,
and,
Jay,
like, for whatever reason, they went through the playoffs acting like he might come back.
Right.
Yo, Jay, be sure to put the Mike Breen Kawhi Leonard's going crazy in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, that was hilarious, bro.
That was great. If Kawhi wearing a 7-Eleven shirt?
Yeah, shout out to Joe Fresh Goods, man.
There you go.
Dope collab out of Chicago.
I was trying to figure out what that JFG stood for.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Fresh Goods out here. Shout out to his legal team getting that done for 7-Eleven.
Oh, by the way, Dennis Lindsay stepped into an advisory role for the Utah Jazz. Man, I wonder if anyone's free and his ties to Utah might be able to step in.
Danny Ainge.
No, maybe Danny Ainge. Oh, yeah, he is free, isn't he? He stepped down. Okay, yeah, maybe there's something there, maybe not. All right, that's going
to
do it. Danny Ainge
moving to Utah is going to be so...
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Ah, yes. I'm coming home. Hey, right. That's crazy. Man, see, I ain't going to say it, man. Shout out to my white listeners, dog. Y'all tight.
Trey was happy with me today because I showed him some choreography trampolining on Instagram.
Yeah, that's the only thing my white homies could only introduce me to. I don't think nobody, bro. That was so cool.
It's great,
man. Trampoline and choreography. Thanks,
it's
Zach.
Fantastic. Yeah, there you go. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds on the Athletic NBA show on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic to get all of Marcus' coverage, all of Jay's coverage, all of my rankings. I got a mock draft coming out this week. That's right. I'm getting into the mock drafting game. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe through there if you're not subscribed. For Trey, for Marcus, for Jay, I'm Zach. Jay's going to produce this. Subscribe to the Athletic.